Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Robert Key. I'm one of the pastoral elders. We are going to we'll start in James chapter 2, so you can start turning there. I'll be bouncing around a little bit and hit some other scriptures that I won't necessarily take time for you to find, because I'll just bounce off of them and keep going. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8, and also in 2 Chronicles 27, 20 verse 7, there's a passing reference to Abraham being called the friend of God. It says, in one place it says, God is speaking, he says, Abraham, my friend. James picks that up in James chapter 2, in verse 22 and 23. You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now that phrase, the friend of God, has captured me for a long time. And as I prayed about the sermon for this morning, that's the Lord brought me back to that again. And so I'd like to investigate that a little bit. Now the word friend means pretty much what it does in English. It's not one of those tricky words that you have to learn Greek or Hebrew to figure out what it means. It signifies a relationship based on affection, familiarity, trust, and loyalty. There is one other aspect when we're referring to friendship with God that comes out. Turn to John 15. You'll want to take a look at this. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now, you real quickly will pick up on the aspect of affection in those passages. But did you notice also the obedience part? That if we do whatever he commands. And then he also made a distinction there between servants and friends. He said, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. For a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. No, I want to pause right here. Because as I read through that, I realized, you know, that might sound like I'm trying to speak against the theme of servant, open doors of service that we're going through. And that's not the case. God uses different metaphors, he portrays things to us in different ways to communicate to us. For example, we're the bride of Christ. We're also, Jesus calls us his brothers. He calls us servants. He calls us friends. It just depends on what he's trying to emphasize at the moment, which metaphor he's going to use to try to communicate that truth. I'm not taking away anything from the fact that we're servants, but at the same time, right now, I want to emphasize the way in which we're more than servants. We're friends. So let me list out those different aspects of friendship for you. And this is the order that we're going to look at them right now. Affection, trust and loyalty, and I'm going to combine those two together because they're real close. Obedience, and then familiarity or close and close communication. Because if we aspire to being a friend of God, if at the end of our days we would like it to be said, he was called a friend of God, then we would want to develop these characteristics in our life. So the first affection or love, still in John 15, if you look at verse 9, as the Father loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Or Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A whole lot has been said, preached, written about, talked about, loving the Lord. So I'm not going to really dwell on that. I'm going to go on, assuming that you already know that you're supposed to love the Lord. Okay? Trust and loyalty. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 27:10. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. So we're seeing a real that loyal sense of loyalty that comes with friendship. In Psalm 41:9, David, he's bemoaning the depths of the trouble that he's in. It's kind of a lament sort of psalm. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. So things just couldn't get any lower than his friend has betrayed him. So that aspect of loyalty is really, really important for a friend. Matthew 10:32-33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Loyalty is really important. Let's look at Abraham. He was the friend of God. Let's see how his loyalty worked. Genesis chapter 12, the story of Abraham starts in Genesis chapter 11, right at the end of the chapter, and goes through, 27? Kind of a big chunk. We won't read all that this morning. But in Genesis chapter 12, God gives him a command, and he obeys. Let's just go there. Genesis 12. I didn't print that one out. This is Abraham's call. And depends on the translation. This one says, Now the Lord had said to Abraham, and that's kind of important because the way it falls in the story, this call happened earlier. It's just recorded right here. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And Abraham trusted God that it would be that way, that he would bless him. And so he took off. Later on, I'm going to assume you all know the story of Abraham, at least bits and pieces. And I'm trying to take the whole story today. We could take, stop, and, you know, you can preach a whole sermon on the sacrifice of Isaac. You could preach a whole sermon on Hagar and Ishmael. You could, you know, and so we're not doing that. I'm trying to take the whole picture, and I'm assuming you've heard all the little pieces, and I'm going to try to put them together into a big whole for you. So remember, with Ishmael, after Isaac was weaned, Ishmael was seen mocking, and Sarah said, get rid of that kid. What you may have glossed over is there's a verse there that says, and God appeared to Abraham and said, don't let that grieve you. Go ahead and send him away. I'll take care of him. And Abraham trusted God. That was a tough thing for him to do. That's his son. The kid's only 13 years old. You just send him off into the wilderness. But he trusted God. Then later on, God told him to sacrifice Isaac. But he had told him that Isaac would be his heir. He had told him that his blessings would come through Isaac. And so he trusted God. And that's why in Hebrews 11 it says that Abraham considered that he would receive Isaac back even from the dead, because he had to. Isaac was his heir. He trusted God. Then the loyalty aspect of is we see that loyalty has been built into Abraham's character. This is not related directly towards God, but that it's just part of his character here. When Lot was captured and he risks everything he has, there's four kings have come and defeated five kings and walked away with all the booty. Abraham takes his servants born in his house and his three neighbor guys and goes after him. That's loyalty. He could have lost it all too, but he went after Lot. And we see loyalty in Abraham's commitment to do things God's way when, at the end of his days, he sends his servant back to get a wife for Isaac rather than mix with the people of the land, because he knew God had called him out to be separate. Obedience. We'll go on to the obedience thing. Now, Abraham got kind of a rough start with this one. Remember the call? I just read you the call in chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. The Lord said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. So he leaves Ur of the Chaldees with his father and his cousin and the whole entourage. So he got the get out of the country part. But he didn't do too well with the get out of your father's house part. Then he leaves Haran to go to Canaan. He's going to leave his father now. He goes to Canaan, but he takes Lot with him. So he's doing a little bit better. He left his father behind, but took Lot. But he finally got it right. He finally parted ways with Lot. And when he did, we'll get to that in a minute, but God appeared to him. In Abraham, in Genesis 13, in verse 14, that was when God appeared to him and said, "Look around you. I'll give you all of this land. As far as you can see, north, south, east, and west, I'll give it to you all. And I'll give you a huge number of descendants." That's when God appeared to him and told him that. Was when he finally got it right and got and separated from Lot. And it makes a real point of that when God shows up, because he says in verse 14, chapter 13, verse 14, "And the Lord said to Abraham," after Lot had separated from him, so he made that little point there. Now that Lot's gone, okay, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I'll give to you and your descendants forever. And I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, through its length and its width, for I give it to you." And then after this, we can find a number of events that really show Abraham's obedience. Hard things. Things that we hope God never asks us to do. You know? Like sending Ishmael away. Like sacrificing Isaac. Like fulfilling the covenant of circumcision. But, you know, even if we struggle with obedience, we just keep working at it. Abraham didn't get it right at first. We keep working at it, and we take encouragement from those who went before us and eventually got it right. Because Abraham was called the friend of God, even though he didn't get it right at first. Familiarity and close communication. Now, it's not to overlook the obvious, but to be familiar with someone, you have to spend a lot of time with them. So if you want to be familiar with God, if you want Him to be familiar with you, you've got to spend time with Him. And the same applies for communication. You can't communicate if you're not around somebody. So let's look at these. But here's where Abraham's life might give you when you look at it closely, you might be surprised. If you were kind of like me, you pictured Abraham walking through his life having one great encounter with God after another. God appears and says this, and God appears and says that. And Abraham gets a chance to talk with God and argue him down on the judgment on Sodom, you know. Boy, what a life to live, you know. And you might be discouraged thinking, well, that's great for Abraham. I'm not there. I'll never get there. But let's look at Abraham. Let's pay attention to the time that has elapsed. The first date that we have in Abraham's life, there's several dated things through his life that we can piece the story together with. The first date we have is when he leaves Haran at the age of 75. So we can assume that the call to leave Ur was several years before that. Pick a number. 70? Age 70, okay? So God appears to Abraham in some noteworthy way, recordable way, the first time when he's 70. And then he leaves Haran, and he goes into the promised land, still with Lot, and God shows up just like that and speaks a word about like that and is gone again. In Genesis 12:7, he said, God shows up and says, to your descendants I'll give this land. One sentence. Poof. That's it. So we've had 5 years and one more sentence. Just kind of an interesting side there. He leaves Haran. He still has Lot. He comes into this one little place, this little valley near Shechem, and God shows up and gives him this one sentence. Later on, when Lot finally leaves, he shows up and gives him that big paragraph with the, you know, that we just read about north, south, east, and west, and all this stuff. It made a difference how obedient he was. Okay, so that's after age 75. Then later on, when Lot parts ways with him, you get that longer word. And then you remember the event with the making of the covenant, where Abraham divides all the animal parts and spreads them out and drives the vultures away, and then after dark here comes the smoking furnace and the fiery pot and goes through, and there's this big hoorah thing going on there. Okay, that happened in that time period. The next event, the next date that we have, is when Abraham is age 85, which is when Sarai gives Hagar to him as wife. So all of those three events happened in 10 years. Okay, 10 years and three things. Okay, then after Hagar became his wife, you have a gap of 14 years before anything else gets recorded. And that's now the covenant of circumcision when Ishmael is 13. Okay, and Abraham is 99. So you have a 14-year gap. And then there's another gap, 15, 18 years. We don't have a real close time on this one, but this is the sacrifice of Isaac. I say 15 to 18 years because Isaac's old enough to carry all the wood on his back that's necessary for a burnt sacrifice. It takes a lot of wood to make a charcoal fire big enough to burn a lamb completely to cinders. But he's young enough that they call him a lad, you know. So he's still in the youth category, but he's already grown big enough to carry wood. So I'm figuring late teens somewhere, 15 to 18, somewhere in there. So you get this 15 to 18 year gap with nothing else happening until the sacrifice of Isaac. And you also get the, I skipped something here. Yeah, I skipped a whole section. Sorry, we'll back up. After the smoking furnace and the fiery pot, Hagar becomes his wife. Then you get a 14-year gap. Abraham's 99. You get the covenant of circumcision. This is a busy year now. When Abraham's 99 and 100, you get a bunch of stuff going on. You get the covenant of circumcision. You get the three men that appear to him under the terebinth tree, and he argues about the destruction of Lot and trying to Sodom to try to save Lot. And then you get God showing up and telling him, yeah, it's okay, go ahead and send Ishmael away. That all happens when he's 99 and 100. So you get three things in 2 years. That's pretty good. And then you get the 15 to 18 year gap. And after that 15 to 18 year gap, now, say it's 15 years. Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. So now Abraham's 115. Abraham lives to be 175. That's 60 more years, and there's nothing else recorded. So, if you play with the numbers a little bit, in 175 years, God speaks to him 10 times. That's an average of every 17 and a half years between times that he hears from God. But there's two occasions where God speaks to him three times in a row. Like when he sacrifices Isaac, God spoke to him three times. Once, go sacrifice him. Another time, stop, don't kill him. And then another time, a promise, okay? So if you clump those occasions together where three times happened all at once as kind of part of one event, that makes it every 29 years between events. But even if you don't want to play with the averages, if you look at the actually recorded events, the first 70 years of his life was quiet. And the last 60 years of his life was quiet. And there were a couple of big gaps in there that were at least 14 years in between them. So what's that tell us? What it tells me is that the ordinary, everyday, mundane makes a whole lot more difference than we might think. So when we look at Abraham's, those great recordable events, it was the plain vanilla days that didn't get recorded. All those times that he was devoted to the Lord, all those times that he spent in prayer, all the time that he spent reading the Word on his iPad. No. He didn't even have that, you know? And he was called the friend of God. So, when you think about your own life, has it been 60 years since you heard from the Lord? Think about the times when you did. And, Abraham, some of these times, God shows up, looks just like three men, just like as solid as everything. But throughout the scriptures, there's lots of other examples of when God shows up that's not so, like that. It's more fuzzy. they call them visions, dreams. Sometimes you read the prophets and the word of the Lord came to. And they make no explanation of how the word of the Lord came. When we perceive the Lord speaking to us, those are maybe the plain vanilla everyday days that didn't get recorded in Abraham's life. When we learn to hear his voice in all the little mundane everyday things, that we develop that communication, that we develop that trust. Maybe I can trust God to sacrifice Isaac because I trusted him when he said to go over here and check out, there's this good sale you need to see in Walmart. Yeah. I'm serious, you know, because God speaks to us on little things. And maybe when he says, go ahead and send Ishmael away, that's easier to believe because he helped me find my car keys when I lost them. I know he can take care of even all the little details. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll close with this. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you for the faithfulness and the faith of our father Abraham. We thank you for the recorded events to give us hope. We thank you for the promise that you've given us to be close to us, that you've told us that if we seek you, that we would find you, that you're not far off. Lord, as we go out from here today, we ask that you'd just fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you'd shine out through us, that those that we meet would recognize that we had been in your presence. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.